And so we come to Isaiah chapter 32. It does have the word at home in it. It only shows up one time at the very end. And so when I looked at this text, I realized that it's not only about home, it's about something else that maybe we're wrestling with these days. It's about leaders with integrity. It's about leaders who speak the truth in love. It's about hoping for a day when a leader will come, a promised day, and that person will speak the truth and shed light on those who do not speak the truth. So not only is this text about home, I think it's important for us as we live through these times. Listen to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 32, verses 1 to 8, 16 through 18. This is the New Living Translation. Look, a righteous king is coming, and honest princes will rule under him. Each one will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm, like streams of water in the desert and the shadow of a great rock in a parched land. Then everyone who has eyes will be able to see the truth, and everyone who has ears will be able to hear it. Even the hotheads will be full of sense and understanding. Those who stammer will speak out plainly. In that day, ungodly fools will not be heroes. Scoundrels will not be respected. For fools speak foolishness and make evil plans. They practice ungodliness and spread false teachings about the Lord. They deprive the hungry of food and give no water to the thirsty. The smooth tricks of the scoundrels are evil. They plot crooked schemes. They lie to convict the poor, even when the cause of the poor is just. But those who are noble plan noble things. And by noble things, they stand. Someday justice will rule in the wilderness. Someday. Righteousness will rule and abide in the fertile field. And this righteousness will bring peace. Yes, it will bring quietness and confidence forever. And my people will live in safety, quietly, at home. The word of the Lord. Before I get into this text, lots of things to talk about there, I want us to offer a special prayer this morning for Patrick Andrew Braxton. Patrick Andrew Braxton is a 31-year-old Davidson grad who went on a walk last Sunday in Mexico and did not return. So the town of Davidson is praying for his safe return, praying for family and friends, and I thought we should lift up Patrick Andrew Braxton, that he might find his way home. Let us pray. Gracious God, I give you thanks. We give you thanks for this series, talking about home and what that means to us and where that is and how we long for it. Specifically, this morning, we pray for Patrick Andrew Braxton and his family. We pray that he would find his way home. We pray for family and friends and community members that are praying for him now. And we pray for this text from Isaiah, which speaks of home, but seems to speak more loudly about seeking people who are just, leaders who speak the truth. And we're praying for that too, with hope. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts here be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This weekend, Heather and I have been enjoying going to movies, going to the film festival here, the Virginia Film Festival. What a great opportunity for all of us. What a great gift for people like me who just love to go to movies all the time. One movie I want to tell you about, I won't tell you about all the movies I've seen, just one in particular, though. Thursday afternoon, Heather and I went to Vinegar Hill Theater, and we saw a bunch of shorts, short documentaries, which means they can be like 6 minutes long, or 3 minutes long, or 23 minutes long. And that's the one I want to talk about. There was a 23-minute film there called Unstuck that really spoke to me. And I think it moved everyone there. The film was about children and teenagers who suffer with obsessive-compulsive disorder. And all 23 minutes was dedicated to interviewing teens, not doctors and therapists and so forth, just the teens and these children as they articulated their struggles to overcome and to deal with obsessive-compulsive disorder, OCD. And as you watch these kids talk, it just moved you to hear their maturity and their vulnerability and their willingness to be honest about how hard it is to overcome and to deal with OCD. At the very end of the film, I remember this 12 or 13-year-old, he ended the film by using this quote. It's a quote that he said he uses to keep him going in life. He said, "You were given this life because you are strong enough to live it. You were given this life because you are strong enough to live it." And when I heard that quote, I thought, I think that's what Isaiah 32 is trying to say to me. Almost. Almost. Remember, the prophet Isaiah was prophesying to people whose leaders had betrayed them. The Assyrian army was on the edge of attacking them and taking them off into exile. The truth was being eroded by fear. And so Isaiah, the prophet, has the audacity to stand up in the community and speak to desperate people something that they're not experiencing, that they're not seeing, not yet. "You were given this life," Isaiah proclaims. "God has given you this path, this life, because you are strong enough to live it." Like this boy in the film and like Isaiah, I think what Isaiah is saying to us is to summon up, or was saying to those people and to us, was to summon up some inner resource within us, some inner strength, our faith in God, to believe in something even though it might not exist or be readily apparent. Indeed, for the Israelites, when they walked outside and looked around, there were threats on every side. There was fear on every side. Exile was in the wind. And yet Isaiah calls upon these people to keep hope alive and to believe that one day, a new day, will dawn, a day when justice and peace will be restored. But I want to be clear here. Isaiah was preaching about a faith for the long haul. This was not a faith that would show up as I snap my fingers or you wake up in the morning and be there. It's a day after day thing. It's a faith for the long haul, a faith that waits unwavering, a faith that endures, a faith that will not give up. Think about those children and teenagers from that film about OCD. Think about them. In the film, they talked about how sometimes these thoughts invade their minds. They just can't help it. They feel invaded. They try to tame their behaviors. They feel like victims, helpless, unable to control their compulsiveness. And yet over time, by a sheer tenacity of the human spirit, these children are able to manage their thoughts and behaviors. Will their OCD ever go away completely? No. Will there be times when they struggle with their behaviors and their thoughts? Yes. But on the big screen, what I saw there were children and teenagers who were not about to give up hope or hoping for a better day. Think about the colors of the leaves. 2 weeks ago, they were green, right? I think they were green. In fact, there were green down here in the lowlands, so Heather and I drove up to Shenandoah National Park to see if we could find some color up there. There weren't very many leaves up there that were turning color. 2 weeks ago, I think I jokingly kidded with a few of you that in light of global warming, maybe we were going to skip fall altogether and just move into winter. But I was wrong. Thankfully, that is not the case. Despite our worries, despite our imaginations, despite the world's uncertainty, despite a long wait for fall, the colors have descended upon us. Do you need hope? Go outside and look at the leaves. Do you need some evidence that God's presence is still here? Do you need to see that the world is still beautiful and there is still the possibility of redemption? Go outside today. Feel the cool air against your face. Let these colorful leaves speak to something deep within you. Isaiah offered the following words to desperate people. But those who are noble plan noble things, and by noble things they stand. These words made me think about this stewardship campaign we've been in as we've been trying to raise money for our church home and beyond that. With our money and time and our programs and our preaching and our willingness to engage in social issues, we are a congregation that pursues noble things. We want to be good stewards. We want to do what is right. We want to do the honest thing, the generous thing, the noble thing. That's why we give this building away to different groups to stay here, to use for the benefit of the community. We offer food and shelter and water to those who need it. We don't do it perfectly. We are a church, after all. We do the best we can. And we do this because, in the end, we agree with Isaiah. And that is, we believe that one day, a new day, will dawn. Last Sunday, if you were here in worship, during the prayers of the people, there were a lot of hard prayers. People shared prayers about family members who had been diagnosed with cancer. We suffered and felt the grief of that synagogue up in Pittsburgh, which was a terrible spot of gun violence and grief and shock and pain. Maybe as Lynn and I read this list today, it recalled some grief to you, a name in that list that was said out loud, has somehow triggered some sadness in you. That was the feeling last Sunday. A lot of sadness during prayers of the people. In response to that, I'm going to do something different this Sunday. There's no deacon of the day for today. Instead, Lynn and I will be right up here to offer a prayer for you. Any prayer you want, even if you're not sure you can say the prayer out loud. It's helpful if you can tell us what you need prayers for, but you don't have to say anything. You can just come up and say, I need a prayer, and we will pray for you. It's a small step, I think, a step toward healing, a step toward getting beyond loss. It won't solve everything, but if you just want to stay after the postlude and have a prayer right up here with us, we are more than happy to do that, because we believe that a new day, a new dawn is coming for people who grieve, for all of us. The table is set, all is ready. We believe in a hope, in a future, even now, even if we can't see it, it's coming. So come and receive the strength you need. And let us receive the morning offering.